In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Wow, these are the hard teachings, aren't they? It's a tough one this week. I had quite a challenge trying to put together a sermon, and I was trying to gather pieces from many ideas that I had. And then I was reading a sermon that just pulled out and revealed to me what had been in my heart and my mind. So I'd like to share with you one of the sermons that works that was written in 2017 by a Magdalena Howell. Before I do that, I'd like you to open to, oh goodness, I have to get my prayer book. I think the prayers in the prayer book on page 810 maybe. In our prayer book, we have this lovely group of prayers that I often go to, and it's a lovely addition. They're called Prayers and Thanksgivings. It's on page 810. And I think I'll have you turn to page 820, excuse me, 824. Just be ready. We'll pray a prayer at the end of this sermon. Immediately after his baptism and following the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus, according to the Gospel of Matthew, presents a discourse of moral teachings that we've come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. And you've heard a couple of these sermons in the past couple months here. It is a portion of these instructions that we experience in today's Gospel. Jesus eloquently presents a series of specific and shared understandings and interpretations of the law of Moses, and he contrasts them with a renewed way of looking at these matters. He begins with a statement, "You have heard that it was said," and he concludes by saying, "But I say to you." And what he's trying to do here is to present the true intention of the law through the lens of his message. So we're moving from the very, not erasing the law of the Torah because it's beautiful and they really practice this, but Jesus gives us a new way of looking at this message. And it's a lot about relationships. St. Augustine of Hippo stated in his book, Our Lord of the Sermon on the Mount, that if anyone will piously and soberly consider the sermon on which our Lord Jesus Christ spoke on the Mount, and as we read it in the Gospel according to Matthew, I think that he will find it so far as regards to the highest morals, a perfect standard of the Christian life. Now we know that we all aspire to this, and we know that we all fall short. So in a way, as we are very vulnerable in our humanness, we all commit sin, and sometimes unconsciously. But one of these standards highlighted in today's gospel is reconciliation. And Jesus, through specific examples, shares with his disciples the negative impact of unresolved and conflictive human interactions, while he offers at the same time a mechanism for our accountability and a pathway towards mending broken relationships. For real reconciliation to occur, we must not only meditate on and identify the offense, but also value that relationship that can be jeopardized by such an offense. What it requires is an absolute opening of the heart to be able to bravely engage in dialogue and to seek restoration of that particular relationship. It is God's desire for us to live in relationship with one another. And when our relationships are broken, other areas of our lives can become off balance to the extent that, at times, it may impact our absolute ability to function. I know I've encountered this over and over again in my life. Broken relationships separate us from one another, and in some ways, they separate us from God Himself. At times, we are oblivious to the impact that our actions take in the life of another, and our intent may be honestly genuine or without malice. but somehow the impact in their context can be really devastating. Another factor, pride, can come into play, and it plays a significant role in impeding us from reconciling with those whom we love and those who love us, and even from those who differ from us. But as Christians, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I always, when I come across this line, I always like to think and to dive into that a little deeper. Not as well as ourselves. It's as ourselves. There is no separation between me and you and me and you. So there is no separation. As Christians, we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we're called to build bridges, not walls. In the current state of affairs in our nation, a difference of opinions at the political and ethical level has caused such a visible divide even among families and friends and communities. It's a common occurrence, we probably all know this, to hear friends defriending each other on pages and social media as a result of political debates or opposing points of views about relevant and challenging topics. So how can we find common ground in the midst of our differences? And how may we, even during challenging and uncertain times, create a space for dialogue and reconciliation? Jesus came into this world to reconcile us with God. And it's that ministry of reconciliation that encourages us to create spaces for healthy and productive dialogue. And it is that ministry of reconciliation that urges us to remain faithful to our vocation of love, where we reject sin, but yet embrace the sinner. One of my favorite authors and researchers is Brené Brown. And she has this wonderful cartoon that I'm going to ask to be posted on our page, which is a cartoon about empathy versus sympathy. She gave this talk in 2003, and it's an adorable 3-minute little cartoon. She shares that empathy feels connection, while sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy feels connection, while sympathy drives disconnection. She describes empathy as the ability to take on the other person's perspective while staying out of judgment and recognizing the emotions in other people and trying to communicate that. Brené accurately states that empathy is a choice, and it's a choice to be vulnerable. It's a vulnerable choice. Having empathy for those with whom we differ may provide to us an opportunity to listen attentively to their perspectives and create a space for the holy conversations that may lead to reconciliation and maybe even positive changes in the midst of profound and basic disagreement of ideologies. We can choose to nurture our divides and remain in that state of tension and dissension. Or we can decide to be open to the movement of the Spirit and focus on that which does unite us. God's love for humanity, and we can work together through our disagreements. There's a story about a married couple, and they argue frequently. They've been married for 38 years. And both of them were known to be very strong in their characteristics and quick to temper. One evening, they engaged in yet another heated and emotionally charged conversation. Well, the wife was, she reached a point of no return, and she decided to pack a few things and just take off. And while she was packing, she noticed that her husband placed another suitcase next to hers, and he started packing too. With a huff, she asked him, "Where in the world are you going?" And her husband responded in an angry tone, "I don't know. I'm going wherever it is that you are going." I think that's a cute story. Similar to that case of the married couple, our disagreements, whether political or not, are sufficient ground to separate us. And we are bonded by something greater than that. Avoidance, contact, is a defense mechanism we may use to evade our responsibility to foster reconciliation and unity. Reconciliation is very hard work, but it is holy work. Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby preached in Guatemala in August of 2011, and in his sermon he shared, "The gift of the church to the world is reconciliation. We have been given it as a gift for ourselves so that we may know God, and we have been given it to learn." As a church, we have a unique opportunity to become bridge builders during this historic time in America. We have a chance to exercise our prophetic voices in powerful and unique ways. At the same time, we spread and teach the gift of reconciliation to our nation at our local level. Jesus, our model, faced confrontations with determination and compassion. And it is a healthy and necessary balance to mend and maintain challenging relationships. Jesus' determination ensured that the dignity of every single human being was being respected. His compassion showed God's love to those who were difficult to love. May we find a holy balance in these challenging times to maintain a reconciliatory tone while challenging the injustices against God's children in a way that fosters dialogue and builds bridges. Not an easy task, but a necessary one. In closing, I ask you to join me in this prayer that I ask you on page 824, at the top of the page, page 28. Oh God, you have bound us together in a common life. Help us in the midst of our struggles for justice and truth to confront one another without hatred or bitterness and to work together with mutual forbearance and respect. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.